these are all very enervating. And at the same time, like, there's the huge eugenic experiment that we've been living in since 2009 or 10 or so has reduced the security that you can feel in your housing. It's reduced the security you can feel in your health. You can no longer be confident that if you're injured, you're going to get seen by someone. You can no longer be confident necessarily that you're going to live today or tomorrow where you did today. You can no longer be confident that you're going to get the hours of work you're going to get today. You can no longer be confident that the food that you buy to feed yourself and your family is going to cost the same. And that those hours that you were going to get, those can go up and down. The food prices seem to go up. And then so your capacity, the slack in people's lives is getting much, much, much less. And so then it's that they're doing this cynically, but it's frustrating nevertheless to see like conservative politicians and also labor politics, to see everybody who is in the elite that decides what the politics are, to scratch their heads and wonder why are so many people getting signed off work with mental illness, and then say the solution has to be because we need more of these people participating in the labor market to sign fewer of them off with mental illness and just assume a higher level of endemic mental illness in the economy.
Well, yeah, not just like how did this happen, but also, as you say, what the remedy has to be, right? Because there isn't like an obvious known answer to all of these problems, which is public sector investment, and also maybe giving people a tiny little bit of hope that this isn't going to be such a dismal place to live for the rest of their lives. And we like roundly rejected both of those. Both of those are like impossible to promise now and sort of like radioactive electorally. And so instead, what can we offer? Well, how about more repression? You know, how about more benefit sanctions? How about it's tougher to like get sick days?
I want to get through some of the actual like content of what they're proposing to do, which is, and again, this goes back to even Blair, who changed the sick note to the fit note, because the idea is we want doctors to say, what are you fit to do? Again, ignoring how people actually interact with the system entirely, because no one's ever done that, obviously.
No.
You don't go to the doctor and be like, I would like to be declared fit to do 25% of my job. It's like, I can't focus on job, right? I can't do job right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sunak is saying, we need to change the sick note, basically saying, Tony Blair failed to eradicate the counter-revolutionary sick note.
True Blairism has never been tried. Bombard the headquarters.
Essentially, yeah. Saying, look, we need to, instead of having people get signed off work, they get easy and rapid access to specialized work and health support to help them back to work from the very first fit note conversation.
There are hard limits on this stuff. If you have food poisoning, right, and you are throwing up and shitting out of your ass constantly in a kind of self-limiting illness way for like between 1 and 3 days, there is no amount of work coaching that is going to get you back into work before you are done doing that.
But here's the difference, right? The people who do sick notes now are GPs.
Yeah.
And they mostly just give them out when you ask for them because they're doctors. If you ask a work coach who, again, whose training in doing this is probably a PowerPoint presentation about GDPR, right? And they know they have a script that they follow, you might as well replace them with an AI.
And if it works anything like anything else we've seen the DWP or like the Home Office do, it will be like a quota and a culture of like deny everything.
Precisely.
I think one thing I was just going to add was that, like, well, this trajectory has sort of been happening for a while, but one of the things that, like, one of the sort of like, you know, non-material, like non-useful things that was being offered in lieu of like, you know, extra sick pay or even just like actual material support to help your sick staff, for example, was like, you know, the sort of vague idea of like, you know, well, we'll offer more mental health services. And that came through like BetterHelp subscriptions, yeah, maybe if you were lucky, but like a lot of the time just being like, oh, you know, like book a mental health appointment with your hospital, right? Which was like, and these were like nothing things. I think we've all had experiences, or like we had people who have sort of tried those types of stuff. Only, you know, and I tried BetterHelp a few times, and you know, maybe it was useful for some people. It certainly wasn't particularly helpful for me in terms of like its approach, and it wasn't helpful for people that I know in terms of the idea that it was structured basically to sort of ignore the actual underlying issues and being more like, well, if you do some breathing exercises, then it might help you, you know, work a little bit better. But the fact that like now this is sort of being considered to be like emblematic of like Britain's sick note culture, right? That this is like a sign of weakness, and it's a sign of, you know, these are sort of frivolous things that have to be discarded by both like, you know, a more hard-edged Tory government, but also more, you know, more likely scenario, an incoming Labour government that, again, wants to get the line up by 0.1% without disrupting the landlords. And so I think it's very telling, but it's just like, okay, well, this very minimal amount of support, which actually like materially is ineffective, but nevertheless was like a gesture of like how much we are, you know, how compassionate we are. The fact that that's being taken away is very telling of like both the Labour Party's kind of perception of what they should be like and who their voter base really is, I suppose. But at the same time, and more, I don't know, I think to me, it's just, it's more just this kind of, you know, this sort of sign that all these like very minor ways that they were trying to differentiate themselves while also trying to really insist to Tory voters that they weren't kind of, you know, Corbynistas. That's sort of all gone down the window. And it does sort of show that like ultimately what they believe, you know, like it or not, is that, you know, they have to be as hard-edged, even if not more so, in order to be considered to be electorally viable.
Mm. When you talk about how people want to be seen, I have some lines from Sunak here. He says, "We should see it as a sign of progress that people can talk openly about mental health conditions in a way that a few years ago would have been unthinkable."
Motherfucker, don't you dare try and pull this shit on me. To be like, oh, actually, we're like checking in with you. It's so great that you feel enabled to talk about this. Not in a way that causes you to miss work, though.
Well, it's if you want to talk about like the through line here, it is that it is once again, we are trying to replace material politics with effective politics.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? This is, I feel good about my food poisoning, and so I'm going to go into work because I feel I can do it while throwing up. You know,
the body count of this, the social murder of this, the number of people who kill themselves, the number of people who like die before their time or live miserable, immiserated lives because of this fucking finance cunt and like his friends and everyone around them deciding that these are the limits of the possible, right? Can you imagine Rishi Sunak hesitating to take time off work if he was sick?
Yeah, well, but he's, you know, but he's a human.
Yes.
He's fully human. He's not like the pig people.
I've heard that theory, yes.
But just as it would be wrong to dismiss this growing trend, so too would it be wrong merely to sit back and accept that because it's too hard or too controversial or too quote-unquote offensive that we can't do anything.
And these days, because of woke, you can't even...
Doing so would let down the many people our welfare system was designed to help. You know, let you down by forcing you to work while you are unwell.
Uh-huh.
And again, what he's saying without saying, right, is that, oh no, if you're throwing up from food poisoning, your work coach should say, yes, you can have a half day off for being sick, but maybe answer some emails on the toilet if you have an email job.
Mm-hmm. Go back to work in your kitchen job and just like be a super spreader.
But what he's saying really is, oh, if you have a mental health condition, maybe try half a day of CBT while still at your job. But we are not going to be allowing, like, mm-hmm. we are now saying that there is the minimum acceptable level of people with mental of people who are like suffering from mental health conditions, not taking time off from work to get, like, there was never any treatment, but like not even taking time off work to try and make it a little less bad, or even worse, not taking time off work with at least statutory sick pay, which isn't enough to cover anything, by the way. That was too generous. And the level of mental distress that the average person is expected to be in has just gone up.
Falling into the trap of talking about affect again, but I would genuinely rather we had the Tories of yesteryear, whose attitude was the sort of open contempt of pull yourself together, get back to work, or kill yourself, than this kind of like faux concern.
Mm.
And the concern is, oh, well, if you're mentally unwell and you're not going into work, then you might become socially isolated.
Everything in this country is designed to inculcate social isolation.
Yeah. It is just like these other things where, you know, the sort of decline of any type of any type of social space, really. Like, he's not wrong in the sense of like, yeah, you could feel socially isolated if you don't go to work, but not out of any sense of care, but because there's not really anywhere else to do it. So it's just like, it is interesting to me that this does sort of feel intentional, or at least it's sort of like the end product of really destroying both like a social safety net, but also just like any type of social support network.
The last remaining Jenga block of 90% of the country's mental health post-work drinks and a Wetherspoons.
Well, and it is very much, well, yeah, like, check in on your blokes, but your blokes is also your manager who you have to go to all bar one with and listen to him talk about how much he hates his wife and then watch him and be his wingman when he hits on like 22-year-olds.
You paint such a vivid portrait with that one. That's really upsetting.
God. You have a very unique ability to communicate the sort of grimness that is everyday Britain, Hussein.
Anytime Hussein becomes kind of like the South London Guy de Maupassant, it really like